What the EFL? It's the Football League podcast resisting calls for its impeachment. Coming up, can Wayne Rooney save his job? Has Ruben Selles got a new one? Will Preston spend some money? And just how bad can it get for Swindon? Answers to all slash some of these questions and more to come. Powered by Quinbet, this is What the EFL. Little nod to the struggles of the South Korean Prime Minister in the intro there. Political. That's a highbrow show. This one now. We're back to talk about the Football League. It's me, Matt Davis Adams. I'm joined by Adrian Clark. How are you doing, Clarky?
I'm all right. Yeah, good. I reckon I've had about 8 hours sleep in the last two nights. So, yeah, all good. Flying.
Yeah, especially with that Christmas jumper on, you'd be flying on your sleigh before too long. Sam Parkin's back with us too. You okay, Sam?
Yeah, doing really well. Had a good week up at Huddersfield, Wigan. Very cold. So much so that it was, I reckon, about 2 degrees at the bottom of the stand. By the time I got to the top, about -5. Contrast, incredible. But yeah, I was well wrapped up and got the hand warmers out. It's the start, isn't it, of the football season when the hand warmers come
the
out.
The little tea bag ones, is that what you use?
Yeah, tea bag punter.
They're old school. Yeah.
I've got some of them.
Sometimes on the tea bags, I go into the socks at night if it's a particularly cold evening.
Yeah, foot ones.
Oh, there are foot ones. Yeah, I saw that actually on Amazon when I was buying them. But you know, like if you just go to bed and you've just the cold's just it's in you. It's not going to go for a good few hours. Sometimes just I stick them down there in my socks, and unbelievably, they can still be warm by morning.
Wow. There you go. Product placement. If you want to sponsor us, tea bag like hand warmers, please get in touch. While we're plugging stuff, our partners Quinbet have a new offer. You can now get 50% back up to £35 and 10 free spins. If your account has sportsbook losses at the end of your first day's betting, Quinbet will refund 50% of your losses as a free bet up to £35, minimum 3 bets, plus 10 free online casino spins at Quin Casino. Even if your account is up, you're guaranteed a £5 free bet plus 10 free spins, provided you place at least one bet of £10 or greater at the minimum odds. T's and C's apply. 18 plus. It's for new UK customers only. Go to gambleaware.org for information on responsible gambling. Okay, we're going to start today by hearing what the chap's got up to this week. And Adrian was on hand at the intimidatingly named Select Car Leasing Stadium for Reading's crushing of Cambridge, finished 3-0 to the Royals. But after the match, all the talk was about Ruben Selles. Clarkey caught up with him, asked him about these links to the whole City job. Let's hear now what he had to say about it.
Well, I think when my name is mentioned there for some other clubs, it's because we are doing the things really well here at Reading. I think it's the players, the technical staff and myself. I think that shows not only is also when the players, some of the players get linked some bigger clubs also, especially the young ones. So yeah, but it's just pure speculation. It's not going to distract my focus on what we are doing here, and hopefully we can move forward together and arrive into that competition all together.
So we are recording at lunchtime on Thursday. Probability is that this will have been confirmed by the time you hear this list. Now, just check the Hull City X feed, and places are still available for their special members' Christmas quiz night. It's the perfect way to get into the festive spirit, but no news on the new manager or prospective new manager. Clarkey, the straightest of straight bats from him there. But I mean, unless his other job offer is to be Greg Wallace's publicist, there's not much less appealing than the Reading manager gig right now. So he's off, right?
He's got to go. Yeah, he's working in extremely difficult conditions and he's doing an amazing job. And yeah, I didn't expect him to say, yeah, I'm off to Hull. But you know, he's never going to do that. But it is an interesting choice by Hull City. There's a lot of good managers out there at the moment. But what I will say about Selles is that he gets his teams playing. They'll play an attractive style of football, very modern, very Premier League in terms of, you know, making the pitch feel massive when they have the ball. You know, they have the two attacking midfielders bombed on to create lots of space for the back four and one midfielder to sort of play out from the back through the lines. The right back will come in, or one of the full backs will come into central midfield. One of the central midfielders will go out to full back. It's all it's all very sort of top-end Premier League in terms of style of play. And they're not easy to play against. So, yeah, I think quite a good choice, actually, from Hull City. I mean, jumping from one awful owner, I mean, just so bad, you can't really have words to describe it, to a fiery owner in Icardi at Hull City, who...
Fiery in every sense, right? In that he'll fire you if you're
not... Yeah, exactly. Ooh. It's not perfect, but you can see why he would have absolutely no choice in doing it. So, yeah, wish him well if that deal goes through. He was quite humble, actually. I told him how impressed I was with his team. And he was like, really? Oh, that's right. I much really appreciate that. Blah, blah, blah. He didn't just brush it off. So I thought, oh, he's actually quite a nice guy. Just quickly on the game, Reading looked like a promotion contender, but what happens now? I mean, that's the issue. Who wants to manage Reading? And they've got a team that's playing lovely football that probably could stick around in the playoff picture. Really good football, as I said. Lewis Wing, the captain, scored two goals from outside the box, both absolute beauties. Ben Elliott was probably my star man, though, funnily enough, fellow midfielder. Really good passer, always wants it, looking to be proactive. He got three assists on the night against Cambridge United. But outside of that, he was really, really good on the ball as well. So he's one to keep your eye on. By the way, on Lewis Wing, no one scored more goals from outside the box in any of the four top leagues since the start of last season. He's got 11. So it's a little bit of a speciality of his. The only downer, really, from Reading was the crowd. Only just over 8,000. I think it's the lowest for about 6 years. And their average last season was over 13,000. So I know it was a cold midweek night, but that's a really low attendance for a team that's, you know, won almost every game at home under Ruben Seller. So, Reading are a good team to watch. Talented, excellent players. Jim Campbell's another one I should mention. Really good on the right wing. But who wants to manage them? That is the question. Who wants that gig with that owner, with all the sort of cloud hanging over them? Really interesting times and terrible timing for the Royal squad itself. They must be absolutely gutted.
Mm. Yeah. Ben Elliott, by the way, Cameroon international, somebody that Sam and I saw come through the academy at Chelsea. So, Sam, you mentioned it earlier that you were on hand in the game between Huddersfield Town and Wigan Athletic on Tuesday. Nice first time finish from Ollie Turton to settle it. Huddersfield, 8 unbeaten in the league. Not a classic, I think it's fair to say.
No, it wasn't a great game, but it delivered a nice story because Turton had been out with a ACL injury. Obviously, really experienced player, had never scored a winning goal in his career, much to our delight, with about 5 minutes to go when I'd named him player of the match. So we found that little statistic, which fitted nicely, because I think going into it, both managers would have anticipated what it was, basically a really tight game between two incredibly good defences. First time I've seen Sam Tickle in the flesh, the Wigan goalkeeper, outstanding. Maybe not on the night, probably more on the stuff I'd watched leading into it, the statistics, his recent saves, but obviously he's top quality. And Wigan, if I just touch on them first, I can absolutely see why they only conceded 13 goals going into the game, because two centre-halves are impressive. The structure of the team is really impressive. They're clearly well coached out of possession. Yeah, centre-halves Jason Kerr, Will Ameson. Will Ameson's been around the block. Jason Kerr came down from Scotland a few years ago. They're keeping young Carragher out of the side, and they're very impressive. They defend their box really well. Their clear problem is going the other way. They've got a lot of young lads. They've got a lot of young lads out of academies, young lads that have come through the system at Wigan, but they've got zero goal threat. The centre forward, Dale Taylor, who was on loan at Wickham last year, good all-rounder. He'll make goals, but he's very diminutive, and he's not a focal point. He's not a goal scorer. So Sean Maloney, I'm sure, given that they're adequately positioned in the table, will just be going to the owners and going, I need some front players. I mean, it was clear as day to me. They hardly mustered an opportunity of any note. Tello Asgard's their best player, but he does a lot of his work away from the goal, drifting deep naturally when he's a bit frustrated, getting on the ball. Lovely feet, good vision. They need to get him higher, and they need to get some players in the attacking positions that are going to score them goals. Huddersfield, on the other hand, I mean, I think I said earmarks during the commentary. I meant hallmarks, all the hallmarks of a Michael Duff team. In terms of the shape, what I did notice, they play a little bit more. Centre-halves have it at their feet rather than just going direct to, obviously, the wing-backs, big part of his team, and the two centre-forwards. Caroma played wide left. Wing-back's got a bit of an issue there. Now Miller out long-term, Mikel Miller. So we had the one attacking wing-back on that side and the aforementioned Turton on the other. He's a bit more of a defender. Nice balance there. A little bit of the same. Me and Clarky spoke about the midfield. Really good. Wiles, Kasumu, Herbie Kane. No problem there at all. It's the front players again. And Michael Duff, again, leading into the game, was really critical and saying, we can't be reliant on my centre-half scoring goals and my midfielders. I need my centre-forwards to score, basically. And not only that, but a lot of our play is breaking down when it goes into them. So they've got four. They've got Marshall and Ward, who started here. They got Ladapo and Radulovic, and the latter two there are not producing at the moment. They're not scoring goals. They're not in form. Marshall runs around a lot. Danny Ward, bless him, has been amazing, but he's nearly as old as me. So they've got a problem there as well, I think, Huddersfield. So unless they strengthen there, I think it's a team and a squad probably good enough to make the playoffs. But if they want to be more than that, I think he probably needs to get that guarantee of goals in the centre forward area. And they tried for May, Alfie May, and they tried for one other, Joe Taylor at Luton. So maybe they'll revisit that in January. But Huddersfield Town, more than enough warranted the 3 points, and absolutely will be there towards the summit end of the season.
Three-way dance, is it for you, Clarkie, for the top two places? You've got Wickham, 39 points, Wrexham, 37. They've played a game more, and Birmingham on 36. And then there's a four-point gap from Birmingham to Huddersfield. Is it already looking like two of those three, do you think?
I think so, but given how, you know, solid Huddersfield can be, I wouldn't write them off completely. If they can do a bit of business, bit of sound business, maybe get a good low knee in January, you never know. But look, I think I said at the start of the season, Birmingham win the league. They will win the league. I'm convinced of that. But it's Wickham, isn't it? Wickham, Wrexham or Huddersfield will get the second spot, in my opinion. I still think it'll probably be Wrexham, but this Wickham run is tremendous. And it's really breathed sort of fresh life into League One. We didn't need fresh life. You know, it's a good enough league as it is. But to have that sort of wild card absolutely flying at the top makes it even more exciting. It's great.
Yeah, the winning run came to an end, but they picked up a point at Exeter midweek. Not a bad result by any stretch of the imagination. All right, before we get on to our championship previews, just a brief word from you, Sam, if you'd be so kind, on your old club, possibly your second great love in football, I'd go so far as to say, in Swindon Town, who are on the floor at the moment, beaten 4-0 at Colchester on Tuesday, all four goals in the first half. Harry Smith's daft-headed own goal after 9 minutes, really setting the tone. Are the ownership worries helping Ian Holloway keep his job at the moment? Is that getting the brunt of the fans' anger? Do you think that there's any way that Ollie can turn this around?
Well, I hope so. I had a lot of time in the car yesterday, so I did think about it a little bit, to see them at the bottom of the table.
What a sorrowful image that is. You just mournfully looking out onto a motorway thinking about Swindon's woes.
Well, I woke up on Wednesday quite early, and I saw the result and exchanged a couple of messages with, obviously, my pal down there who works in the media, but also some of my other friends of a Swindon persuasion, and yeah, to hear just how low they're all feeling. But to see them the bottom of the Football League, I mean, I think it I don't want to be quoted saying this, but I think it could be the first time in their history or certainly in modern times. So that's incredibly worrying. And I think the realisation has been there over the last 12 months that the reality is this could be a team, this could be a club that drops out of the Football League, as hard as that is for me to say. And obviously the majority of the upset, the disappointment is directed at the hierarchy and the ownership, the EFL charges that have besieged the club the last few years. But of course, the appointments of managers clearly not up to it in recent times. Chalk and cheese as well, no continuation. Skeleton staff, and I've seen it with my own eyes. I've been down there, and I mean, it's not being run in the way a team with that potential, a club with that potential should be being run. So it's a real problem at the moment. They're far and away one of the worst defensive teams in the division. My optimism comes from some better forward players, and there's a lot of injuries, so hopefully they can score goals and he can find Ian Holloway a little bit of chemistry in those forward positions to get them up the table. But I think when you look at the recent results, losing to Morecambe at home, who they're at the moment competing with in the lower reach of the division, going out of the cup to Accrington after an initial couple of decent results under Ian Holloway, he is starting to get stick, and it just feels like everything's not right there. And I think the supporters are just concerned that Ian Holloway, who hasn't had a first team gig in the EFL for a while, is going to be in charge of the recruitment, and there's no one really to lead him with the footballing nous across that level. So it's a real, real worry. Hopefully they're going to turn things around. The last thing I wanted to say, I don't want to talk too much because obviously I don't know it inside out at the moment, having been covering different clubs and different leagues so far this season. But the Spirit of 69 is a fan group, and in collaboration with the Swindon Supporters Trust, who I do have had dealings with over the years, the Spirit of 69 is a nod to Clarkie.
Winning the League Cup.
Over.
Arsenal.
Thank you, mate. Thank you. By 3-1. 3-1. Don Rogers. So those guys are going to be having a peaceful protest, I think, on the 21st of December, directed obviously at the ownership of the club, hoping that he puts the club up for sale. I think he's open to offers, but he's not actively looking to sell at the moment. So the supporters are starting to raise their voices somewhat, and yeah, hopefully they can pull themselves out of this mire.
Fleetwood at home for them this weekend. We're going to have a look at what's going on in the Championship next. Paul Heckingbottom goes back to Sheffield, but Wednesday, not United. Now he's the Preston boss, so he can be assured of a hot reception, I think. Sam, Sheffield Wednesday-wise, back-to-back wins for them, but they were away. Not been so impressive at Hillsborough, only 3 wins from 9. This will be one they're targeting for maximum points.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, because if you look a little bit deeper there, the 3 wins were the opening day against Argyle, where they were all over the place. A depleted Norwich, and if you remember, they were pegged back from 2-0 up against West Brom and scored really late to nick that one. So I think you could argue that they've been better away from Hillsborough. That said, for 45 minutes at Derby, they really should have been out of sight. They didn't play well at all, I think, until probably Danny Rowell showed his tactical acumen to really good effect once more. I think changed the shape, made a couple of substitutions at half-time. Iorfa was having a bit of a difficult game. I think Charles went back into the back line and they improved greatly after that. A sublime goal by Barry Bannon, who won't be out there at the weekend. Unfortunately for Sheffield Wednesday, he's now suspended. So I think the thought is Ingleson will come in. Left-footer, started the season well. A lot of similar attributes to Barry Bannon. But I suppose, yeah, I mean, it's certainly a season where now starting to fulfil that potential that we felt they had. I would say the disappointment is that it's a lot of the old guard that are still turning up and producing at both ends of the pitch rather than the new signings. So that's the one criticism, that Danny Rowell has brought in players that maybe haven't set the league alight. But yeah, I think they can be optimistic now about that top half finish that we all predicted. And I'd still make them strong favourites here against a Preston team who started relatively brightly under Paul Heckingbottom, but a little bit subdued at the moment. And it's not the worst time to play Wednesday, despite them winning last time out. Still defensive woes. No Bernard for the last game, and Famuwayo has obviously been missing quite long term. So that's 2 out of the back 3, plus Iorfa getting withdrawn at half time the other day. So a few defensive issues.
Could be a good week for Preston then. It has been, Clarkie, because they released their financial results. Amongst the notes, their turnover has increased to a record £16.9 million. Their average home attendance is now the highest at Deepdale in 60 years, an average of £16,714. They did lose money, but the fact the turnover is up, does that mean that they will spend in January? And does it also mean that they'll trust Paul Heckingbottom to do so? Because Sam says they flattened out a bit. They're only 3 points off the relegation zone. He needs a result pretty soon.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. When was the last time Preston really spent big money? You know, they just sort of tick over, don't they? They don't really make much of a splash in the transfer market.
We're for a club with Peter Risdale as the chairman.
I know. Yeah, it's... I mean, the fans sort of wrote to the club, didn't they? And I don't know if you saw this, and described themselves as maybe the most boring team in the Championship. You kind of would have to make them right, really. It's hard to make out what they are. You know, they've only won three games.
Give us your
in
top
the Championship
three
this season, Preston.
Give us your top three.
Top three most boring.
Yeah.
Who else? Who else is in there? Go on.
I'm asking you, Clarky.
Oh, okay. let's have a think. Let's have a little look.
West Brom and Stoke. There you go. It's done for you.
There's a lot of boring teams in the Championship this season. It's been quite a dull division. Yeah, you're right. West Brom and Stoke. I think is the correct answer. Look, 3 wins from 18. That's bad, but only lost twice since the end of September. That's pretty good. Drawn 6 of their last 8. So, you know, you get that feeling of, it's all a bit meh. They've scored 1 or no goals in 9 of their last 11 in all comps as well. So, look, you know, the fans aren't getting a lot out of it at the moment. Sam Greenwood's doing all right. So he's someone to pick out. You know, they're relatively solid at the back. But yeah, it's going forward, you know, fourth fewest shots in the division, fourth lowest XG. Yeah, no one's really scoring goals on a prolific basis. Set plays, I think, might be crucial here. Sheffield Wednesday are terrible at defending corners and wide free kicks. They're letting 10 goals, which is the most in the Championship. And Preston, for me, whenever I've seen them, always carry a real good threat. They've got good deliveries. They've got a lot of big players. They've got a big back four, haven't they, Preston? Because it was a bit back four, by the way, in their last game rather than a back three. So, yeah, I think if they're going to nick something, it might be from a dead ball here. They have won on 2 of their last 3 visits to Hillsborough. So it's a happy hunting ground for them. But don't get overexcited. The last 4 meetings have all ended 1-0, 2 wins apiece. So, yeah, I'm not expecting a classic here. But Preston, especially hearing the news that Ballon's out, might just be able to nick a cheeky 1-0 here.
All right. Low scoring affair in prospect then. Listen, Neil, you've seen the reports this week that Wayne Rooney supposedly has 2 games to save his job. The first is one that he'll expect to win. It's at home to Oxford, who haven't won on the road yet. Argyle have lost just once on their own patch. In response to that news, Director of Football Neil Jusnip said of Rooney, "We're all behind him. We're all fighting alongside him, and hopefully we can turn that into a good performance and a winning performance on Saturday." That's nice to hear, Sam, but why would you leak that your manager has 2 games to save his job?
Oh, you put me on the spot there. I don't know. I read it as quite positive, given that there was some quite authoritative, is that a word? Journalists, or certainly high standing, tweeting that he was in a little bit of difficulty. But I like the kind of sentiment that they're going to support him. And it probably sounds like they're going to bring maybe an extra coach in, would be my guess, or I don't know, or reinforce the squad.
Joe Edwards, when I spoke to him last week on TalkSport, that he was saying that he was full of praise for the coaches. He basically said they do all the work, you know, do a lot of the work, the heavy lifting. Mm. You know, Shutterworth and Nanceville. Is it Nanceville? I can't remember how to pronounce his name. It's such a difficult name to sort of read out, isn't it? But yeah. I don't think they're going to make a panic decision, because Jusnip and Rooney are pals, aren't they?
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a hard one to dismiss him.
I think, yeah, him and Simon Halliott, like I read their comments this morning, find it quite refreshing, really. And like, you know, having been down there, as you know, for every game this season, including the reserve games, you know, the atmosphere is really good. The football's been good. They weren't brilliant last time out. I saw them against Watford. They definitely rode their luck in that game. Watford were far superior, but they have that never say die attitude, and they come back and take points. He's got good options, I think, in terms of the squad. It's just away from home, and I can't remember anything like this. The contrast, you know, every game they go away, and I think surely he's either going to stumble across a formation, or he's going to pick the right personnel to make the game tough for the opponent. I think for 50 minutes at Bristol City, it sounded like it worked, and then they concede the first goal and they absolutely capitulate. So it's a mental thing, maybe as much as a selection or a tactical thing at the moment. But if they don't arrest it, it's putting enormous pressure on them to continue what they're doing at Home Park, which is incredibly exciting, but it's probably not sustainable over 23 games. But I would love to see him given the season. It's about, I think Wayne Rooney said, finishing what
away from the relegation zone or sustaining their championship status with three games or four games to go. And that is a very, very realistic target for them.
Realistic target for Oxford to get something from the game, Clarkey, isn't it? Given the pressure that the manager's under, do you think you come out all guns blazing? I know they've only won one in their last 13 and they've been rubbish away from home, but you've got to be preying on the nerves that there are bound to be around Plymouth now, right? Not least amongst their defence.
Yeah, but when you've picked up 2 points on the road all season, you're not going to go into the game feeling that confident yourself, are you? That's the issue. I think Oxford been quite solid really at home, but I do think that their rear guard, which is, you know, largely the one that played in League One, I think they've really struggled on the road in the Championship, where it's a step up. You know, they've conceded multiple goals in most of their away games so far this season, Oxford. So yeah, they might attack it. Yeah, that might be the best way to do it if you can't trust yourselves to keep a clean sheet on the road. Maybe just release that handbrake and try and outscore Plymouth Argyle. We'll see. But I think it's a game where Plymouth can get back onto winning ways. You know, I still think they can survive here because at home park they're not easy to face. And I agree with Sam. I think Rooney should get a little bit more time.
To answer your initial questions slightly more succinctly, Matt, I think it's just the nature of the two games, isn't it? Oxford and Swansea at home. You lose those two. Doesn't matter how good the home form has been so far this season and last. You lose those two. You're going to lose some of the belief. Again, I'm saying it kind of through gritted teeth because I know, having been there, the fans are fully, it feels to me, on board with Rooney and really wanting to succeed. But I think, you know, two defeats here, the noise from outside probably gets greater. And I don't like the kind of national narrative around it because I think everyone, to a degree, will take quite satisfaction if he fails again. Not the people that follow the Championship intently, not the people that work on it, not the people that are having dealings with him, because I think he carries himself brilliantly. But I think that, yes, I don't know. I'd like to think that the owners will be, and they are, it feels really good people, will ignore the noise and continue with the plan.
We shall see. Elsewhere, Leeds United welcome Derby County to Elland Road on Saturday lunchtime. If this were the 1970s, it'd probably be the biggest game in English football this weekend, as it is. It's a game of football this weekend. Sam, Leeds supporters seemingly still far from convinced about Daniel Farke. This is a game that obviously they will be expecting to win, but do you see him seeing the season out? I mean, it feels like a bit of a loveless marriage. It's a weird thing to say about a team that is in third in the table, but they've got great expectations of winning and winning in style, I guess.
Yeah, I think just probably the frustration, different ends of the spectrum maybe in the Championship, but the same frustration that the Argyle fans are feeling when they get on the bus and the train and the coaches to go to the away fixtures. And the Leeds fans continually kind of let down away from home with the same type of performances. It's absolute broken record time here, but me and Adrian have been saying this for so long. He doesn't change things quick enough. He's not flexible enough with his tactical setup and his substitutions away from home. And, you know, this is in keeping with last season, the worst away record in the top four last season and the second worst in the top seven now. The statistics don't read like terribly, but you've got to remember this is Leeds with their power, their support and the squad at this level. 10 defeats in his 32 away games since he's been at Leeds and six of those by 1-0. So it's a reoccurring theme. There's clearly an issue when they score first, when they don't score first. When they score first, it's no problem at all. But when they concede first, it's a big issue to win games. It's only happened once in six games this season. So I think the supporters just grow a little bit frustrated at the lack of changes in terms of the shape of the team, to ask more questions of an opposition sitting in deep, and also the roll of the dice in terms of the subs when you've got such good squad at your disposal. So here, I mean, I saw Derby recently, and they, to Paul Warne's admission after the game, they didn't get their press right in the first half up against Swansea. Similar type of opponent, similar type of game, leads the most possession as you would expect in the division. So Derby, I'm sure, will try and disrupt them a little bit, but I would expect them to sit in, probably play, Clarkie will come onto it, but that kind of more active, robust midfield trio that he went with in the last game. I think that they've got Ebu Adams out for this one, so we'll have to rejig somewhat, but tall order for any team going to Elland Road, to contrast what I've just said about the away form. 7 wins in 9, obviously one of those against Burnley, the other one really unfortunate to drop points against Pompey. And I think the word is just that final little bit of quality maybe been lacking sometimes for Leeds in these away games. Aronson, my mate, coming under a little bit of fire. So he's got Ramazani, he's got Nonto, he's got options to play someone, Solomon, maybe at number 10, and just rejig that front line. So that's the probably most interesting thing tactically to keep an eye on. But I have no doubts that despite the criticism of Farker, another home win for me here.
Yeah, you'd say that, wouldn't you, Clarkie, based on Leeds' excellent home form, as Sam mentions, but also a Derby side who've won just once on the road this season and generally is struggling to pick up wins anywhere at the moment, as I guess you'd expect for a newly promoted side.
Yeah, they're doing all right, though, aren't they? They're sort of mid-table, a lot of drawn games. Yeah, just 1 win in 9 for Derby of late. Yeah, look, Leeds have won 6 of their 9 home games without conceding a goal, and in a lot of those the opposition teams barely had a shot, let alone a goal. So this is going to be tough. Ebu Adams is suspended. He's won the most tackles in the Championship. Ebu Adams is very much a favourite there, and I don't think David Ozo, you know, the guy on loan from Palace who I like, got injured, I think, back in September time. He's coming back towards fitness, but it might be a bit of a tall order to expect him to come straight back in for a game at Elland Road. They kind of might have to. We'll have to wait and see. What they do have is a lot of fight, Derby. They're pretty good off the ball. We know that Paul Warne is a decent organiser, isn't he? And they've got 2 good centre-backs, particularly Cashin. I know Sam's praised him up as well, but you know, really good young centre half, probably Premier League bound, I'm sure. He's had the most interceptions, by the way, in the Championship of all players, not just centre halves. They just need a striker. They need a little bit more punch up front. Jerry Yates is doing his best. You know, he's a good all round centre forward, but yeah, he's feeding off scraps in some games, particularly away. Caden Jackson is the other option, sometimes used on the right, but he could play out front if they're looking to play on the break in this game, have a little bit of speed up top, because I think that's what it will have to be really for Derby. So yeah, they'll look to bring in a striker in January, no doubt about that. They did get beat to nil at Sunderland and Sheffield United, and don't know, I think I'm going to this game, I think Leeds will probably win to nil against Derby, but they do have a little bit about them in terms of character, and that is a definite positive, and that is probably the reason why they'll survive the season, which must have been the objective. You know, I think where they are right now is probably better than most Rams fans expected. And I know a couple, and they still don't love Warne, but they're not unhappy with the team. They think they're doing just fine.
Right, final game we're going to look at sees the league leaders Sheffield United. Well, they might not be the league leaders by the time they arrive at the Hawthorns. They're taking on West Bromwich Albion. This game is on Sunday. Sam, I was looking at West Brom and I was absolutely staggered. They're 7th, but they've scored fewer goals than Oxford. They've won 1 of their last 12 games, drawn 9 of 10. I mean, if this was Daniel Farker, he'd be out. Now is Carlos Corberan lucky there's not more pressure on him? This is a honking set of results for a team who are somehow on the fringes of the playoffs.
Well, it's always been very much in his armoury, I suppose, hasn't it? This type of thing, probably getting the front area of the pitch firing has probably always been his conundrum to a degree, getting that balance right. I'm glad you've reeled off some of those stats, because I've just stumbled across something this morning that I'm really proud of, so I'm going to deliver it slowly. But yeah, you said it, Matt, there. So 17th for goals in terms of the attacking, shots per game 15th, XG4 10th, 10th for touches in the box. Right, so we've done that. They're not a good attacking team at the moment, okay? They've had the fewest goal scorers in terms of distribution of goals across all EFL leagues. Just 5 goal scorers. across the piece. Grant, Madger, Mowat, Malumbi, Holgate. The next,
so bad.
Tranmere with 7, Notts County with 7, and then gets quite interestingly, Stoke in the Championship with 8, Birmingham City, 8 goal scorers. But the difference being there, they've got 5 with 3 or more, contributing 27, 30 in total. West Brom, 19 goals, 10 of those for Madger. So that's a big problem. That's a huge problem. And I think I'm saying that with the fact that Madger's having a brilliant season and Carlin Grant actually is having a real renaissance kind of playing as a 2. I think Madger's dropped in slightly deeper than him in the last game. So kind of a 4-4-1-1, 4-4-2, which tells you that Carlos Corbrani is searching a little bit at the moment. He's having a little look at different things. There's a distinct lack of midfield threat, midfield athleticism, midfield goals. With Jed Wallace and particularly John Swift sidelined at the moment, I think that's probably an area that he may have to revisit. I think the craft of Swift to, yeah, not maybe in the goal scoring stakes because he's not off the mark for this season yet, but maybe just to find that little pass to open up opposition would be the way. But I mean, the draws are astonishing. That's your safe bet this weekend, isn't it? I would suggest, or certainly low scoring. A little bit unprecedented, 9 draws in 10, but yeah, distinct lack of goals all over. And to be challenging, seriously, the defence is superb, as it always is. Third least goals conceded in the division. Need to improve going the other way.
Yeah, failed to score in 6 of their 8 home games, drawn 3 of the last 4, 0-0. Sheffield United, therefore, Clark, you might be thinking, well, if we can nick one goal, that's probably going to be enough for us to win the game.
Yep, definitely. But they're short at the back. Ahmed Hodžić is still suspended, and Suter obviously got sent off in the game, didn't it, against Sunderland. So that's two, you know, key players really at the back that we'll be missing. So that's not ideal. They're pretty glad they're playing West Brom in a way. They haven't had that much punch up top. Yeah, they could absolutely go to the Hawthorns and nick it. How good is the goalie, by the way? I think we probably haven't spoken enough about him. He gets a mention every now and again, Michael Cooper, but he's superb. Obviously, only letting 7 goals in 16 appearances for the club. Opt to say he's prevented 5.3 extra goals this season. And for a team that's flying, that really don't face that many efforts on goal, that's an outstanding statistic. It shows that the saves that he is making are top class. They're ones that he really isn't expected to make. So
Wayne Rooney's crying into his device now, isn't he, listening to this?
Michael Cooper could end up playing for England. I looked at his age because I thought, well, he's been around a while. I wonder how old he is. He's 25. Which is a baby, really, for a goalkeeper.
Should we have a little wager? I'll take Sam Tickle.
Yeah.
Take Michael Cooper.
Yeah, I think they both will be in England squads.
No, you could say Tickle might be a more dead cert, but then you'd think Cooper's age would suggest maybe he's more ready now, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and now is key because Pickford. Did anyone out there think Pickford would be doing better than Cooper if he was in the Championship? I'm not sure. Henderson, Ramsdale, Pope. I'm not a massive fan of James Trafford. I think there's flaws in his game. So yeah, I think he's got a chance. I think he does, along with the boy Tickle. At the other end of the pitch, really happy for Tyrese Campbell. Got to say that. He's had obviously a horrible year, losing his dad. He's had a horrible few years in terms of his own fitness, with his career stalling. And just delighted to see him playing well, scoring goals. He's got 5 in 7. Obviously, he's absolutely made the most of Kiefer Moore's absence and Rhian Brewster's. So, yeah, well played, Tyrese Campbell, because he was so good when he broke through, wasn't he, at Stoke? I thought he was a player that was destined for the top flight, but maybe he will be with Sheffield United if they go up. But for me, it's all about the three in behind: O'Hare, Hamer, Rakšaši, top players in their positions. But yeah, we'll see. A lot rests on Vinny Souza's shoulders, I think, with our blaster out for the season. Not sure Sidy Peck is quite at the same level. So yeah, a lot rests on him. But yeah, I'm impressed with the Blades. And I think that they will draw at worst in this game.
All right, well, that is sort of a prediction. So it leads me on to our predictions. Last week was not good for me. I got a big fat 0. Sam got 4 points. Adrian got 3 points. How does that leave things looking then?
Well, Matt, you're propping up the group on 17 points. I am mid-table with 28 points, and Sam is top of the tree with 36. So, yeah, a little bit disappointed he extended his lead, but I still think I can catch him.
All right, well, let's give you a leg up then, Adrian. You go first. Portsmouth against Bristol City, what happens here?
Oh, I didn't want to go first in this one because I find this quite a hard game to call. Pompey getting a bit better, are they? Bristol City in quite good form. 1-0. Stinks a bit.
Oh, that's exactly what I was going to say.
Take my line.
No, I did it on purpose. I was just looking for a little bite and I got it.
Sam, what will you say for this one, please?
I'm going to go back over the scorings. I thought my cushion was better than 8 points at this juncture. I'm going to go back and have a little look. I thought I was double. I was anticipating him starting with a 4 there when he read the results out. I am going to go with a narrative that Bristol City are just carnage to predict. They won handsomely last time out. And Pompey are going to get their wheels in motion from January. So for that reason, 2-1 Bristol City.
Wow, okay. I'll go 1-0 to Portsmouth. Why not? I'm going to go first on the next one, which is Lincoln v Charlton. I think that this is going to be 1-0 to Lincoln. Sam, what say you?
Like it. Yeah, that's the way I was thinking. Charlton lost, didn't they, home to Crawley. I saw them recently. Not enamoured by them. I'm going Lincoln 2-1.
Okay. How about you, Adrian?
Got 2-1 written right in front of me. So
roll the dice, mate. Go for the
Lincoln haven't been great, but they are good home team, aren't they? And they don't lose that many there. Charlton, it's just not happening for Charlton. Not happening for them. So, yeah, Lincoln, 2-0.
2-0, crikey. Sam, what's going to happen when Barrow take on MK Dons?
Oh, hard place to go. Historically, maybe not so much recently, MK Dons are going to be there, mate. They're going to be there. Really fancy them when they're going. And some at the moment, 3-1 MK Dons.
That has been the score in their last two away games. So Sam's going for a hat trick there. What about you, Adrian?
I'm going to go against the grain here. I'm going to go for a shock, an upset. It's not a place for pretty football. It's not.
Good
might
point.
Get roughed up.
It looks very still, though, at the weekend, and dry. That's my thought process. I was on the BBC weather wrap for Barrow earlier.
I'm liking your prep for this quiz. You've gone to different gravy depths. Now I'm going to go for an upset. Barrow to beat MK Dons, 2-1.
Wow, okay. I think it's going to be an away W by that score. So I'm going 2-1 to the McDons, and we shall see how we get on with that next week. Nearly done for the day. Let me remind you, though, that our partners, Quinbet, have a new offer. You can now get 50% back up to £35 and 10 free spins. If your account has sportsbook losses at the end of your first day's betting, Quinbet will refund 50% of your losses as a free bet worth up to £35, minimum 3 bets, plus 10 free online casino spins at Quin Casino. Even if your account is up, you're guaranteed a £5 free bet plus 10 free spins, provided you place at least one bet of £10 or greater at the minimum odds. T's and C's apply. It's 18 plus for new UK customers only. Visit gamblerware.org for more information. We'll put a link to that offer code in the description of the podcast. Before we go, a quick tweet of the week. It comes from Charlton's Daniel Carney. If you want to follow us, by the way, it's at EFL What The on X and What The EFL on other platforms. Here's Daniel Carney then, who quote tweets the official club account of him scoring the equaliser in the midweek defeat against Crawley. Daniel says, disappointed with the result, but happy to get back and get a goal as well. Heart emoji, hashtag CAFC. My question to you, Sam Parkin, he was out injured for 2 months. Is that enough time to allow oneself to tweet about a goal you scored in a game that your team lost, which it was not expected to?
Probably not. It takes me back to the infancy of this feature and this podcast, when this was probably what got us going, didn't it? Was it a humble brag? Is that what you call it? But I don't like having to go at a young kid, and they will very much enjoy his return because he's a good young player. But this strikes a chord with me and ticks all the boxes for why we started to delve into footballers' tweets all those years ago.
Mm. 171 likes, Clarkie, from 10,500 views is not a great ratio, but I mean, what does he expect? He lost the game.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he hasn't got any real abuse there, has he? So he'll be happy with that. I think I think it's absolutely acceptable. You know, he's been out, he's come back, he's delivered. Yeah, I'm going to let him off with that humble brag this time around. Look, why should you, if you've lost the game, just go into hiding if you're a footballer? Why should you?
But you should. Going, fans for class as always, hope to do better, we go again.
No. Fans might not have been class.
I'm sure more than a few times in my career, I lost disappointingly at home 2-1, notched, and was still in Fez Club that night in Putney.
Fez Club? Which Fez Club did you used to go to?
The Putney branch.
Okay. I went to Cambridge Fez on many occasions.
Different drinks for different needs.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm the same. Look. Got beat quite a lot as a pro. Played for Southend United, for goodness sake. But if I played well and scored, even if I didn't, still went out. Still a pretty good Saturday night, if I'm honest. I know you don't really say that, but maybe that's why I didn't
last. Clark 63
in the pro game.
Read it in the paper on Monday.
Yeah, as long as I got a 7, it's all right.
All right. Well, look, if you see Daniel Carnu out in the night spots of Greenwich this weekend, congratulate him on his successful comeback from injury on our behalf. That's going to wrap things up for today. There, if you want to leave us a nice review, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your pods, or helps us grow the show, we would appreciate it muchly. Or just tell a friend, go old school with it. We'll be back with another show next week. Until then, from the three of us, it's goodbye.